listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees God nor knows God. But you know God, because God abides with you, and God will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, Philip, I get it. Philip has been with Jesus, and he must be having a tough day or something, and he's like, "Jesus, just show me God, just like for a second. Could you do that? Then I will believe you. Then I will be faithful." I can relate to that. It's really easy to have faith when life is really easy, right? When life is going well, it's easy to be like, "Oh, I see God there, and I see God there, and the Holy Spirit led me to take a left turn instead of a right, and I didn't get home quickly, but I found an opportunity to serve, and life is great." And then life gets kind of hard. And it gets a little bit more difficult to see God. And when it's more difficult to see God, I totally understand Philip being like, "Jesus, just make it more clear, please." But Jesus' answer is not, "Okay, dun da da da, here's God." Jesus says, "You know God, you know me. I am of God and God is of me. You know God. You've gotten to see and touch and be with and share meals with and break bread with God this whole time. You know God already. You just don't know you know, or you're not trusting that you know." And the good news for all of us is that Jesus goes on to explain that Jesus going to heaven doesn't mean that Jesus is leaving this earth, but through the Holy Spirit, we are all going to be God for each other. That God is still very tangibly here on earth. And so we all know God by God's work in our world and by our work in our world to each other. He says, "If it's not enough for you to trust that you know God through knowing me, look at all the things I've done. Look at the people that I've sat with, and it shocked you because it went against social norms, but it extended love, it expanded love. That was God. Look at all the miracles that happen in my presence," right? The things that you can't explain by logic or physics or anything else. Look at all the things that happen when I'm present. You know God. And so for us, we know God. We can look around the world and find God in our extending love and care to each other. And it's not always easy, but that is how we know God. Jesus is saying, anything you see with your eyes, anything I tell you as fact is not as compelling as experiencing grace, as noticing the miracles in the world. And so that is how you know God. And to make that happen, I'll send you an advocate, what we call the Holy Spirit. It's why everything is red today. I'll send you an advocate. And God showing up for us in an advocate is interesting to me because an advocate is a distinct way of being. Right? When you're advocating for something, you're not the one in power putting rules on somebody. When you're advocating for something, you're not just forcing something to happen. When you're an advocate, you're working with people to try to get a more just or a more kind or a more loving outcome. A great example of this is there is a parent at this church who, week after week after week, for maybe 6 or 7 weeks, has been telling me about how they're advocating for their kid in school. Their kid has special needs, and their classroom wasn't quite working out for them this year. And so each week I'd get sort of an update on the actions they took to do this sort of gentle prodding, but very true and clear prodding, right? Gentle doesn't mean like wishy-washy. So each week it'd be like 3 emails about what my kid needs and then a meeting with the principal. This week only 2 emails, but we did have 4 phone calls. Yesterday, my kid came home crying because something not okay happened, so you better believe I drove to that school to tell the teachers that that wasn't okay. Right? This is advocating. It is clear. It is not wishy-washy. It's not, well, maybe that's okay. It is, that is not okay, but it's this gentle, persistent prodding. That is an advocate. And we're told today that the Holy Spirit is an advocate in our world. The Holy Spirit is advocating for our world to become more holy, to become more Christ-like. And when we wonder what is the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we either sit or walk or sing, whatever you do to listen to the Holy Spirit, and if we're wondering if something's of the Holy Spirit or just our own stuff, we have to run it through our little Jesus filter. Jesus said the advocate is of truth, that it is of God. And so what we know of God, what we know of Jesus, is that Jesus is love. Jesus is patience. Jesus is justice. Jesus is kindness. Jesus is joy. So when we're getting these gentle, persistent nudges, and we're not sure if it's our own selfish desire to do something, or if it's the Holy Spirit advocating that we create more love in our world, we run it through this filter of truth. Will it produce more love, justice, joy, or kindness in our world? Jesus says, I'm sending you an advocate that is of me. And this advocate, this Holy Spirit, often in the church, we talk about as fire, woohoo! And as someone who quite likes fire, I love a good bonfire and is pretty loud and boisterous most of the time, I get really excited when we talk about the Holy Spirit as fire and loud and boisterous and we're going to come in with justice, ha-ha. But that's not what Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as today. This whole text is very planned and marked. Jesus is saying you will know God through this advocate, this gentle, persistent nudging. And so I'm reminded that in the Bible, fire is clarifying. Fire isn't this human power and might to be right and to have a whole 100 people be like, oh my goodness, you were right. That's not what fire means here. Fire is purifying. It's getting rid of everything that is not of God. It's getting rid of your selfishness or what you did out of tiredness or stress, and it's focusing in on the Holy Spirit's work in our world, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. That is what we sing about fire today, that we would be purified in our understanding of where we are being nudged, that God's will for us would become more clear, that we would filter out the world and focus in on Jesus. And when we celebrate Pentecost, we often say it's the birthday of the church. And if you ask Pastor Doug why it's the birthday of the church, he'll tell you that that's wrong, and I'm going to let him have that conversation with you. But when we talk about the birthday of the church, we talk about the start of Christians going into the world to be more Christ-like, right? That's what the church is. It has nothing to do with a building and everything to do with being Christ in the world. As Lutherans, we know we're in Christ in the world in a sort of duality sort of way. We know that we are both sinners and saints. That when we go out into the world as Jesus, we're still not Jesus, and so we're still going to mess up. right? Sinning, just falling short of the glory of God, which is to say, at some point during the day, you are not producing life and joy and love in the world. I don't know about you, but I've done that like 7 times today. I don't count because that would be exhausting. Right? We're both these sinners who are held by God's grace and who need to be reminded and remember every day that that's okay. That God still loves us and God still has a plan for our world, and perfection was never our expectation. And we are saints, which is to say we are people who follow those gentle nudges from the advocate, who step where the Holy Spirit nudges us to step, who produce more love and life in the world by being present with one another. The church has sort of co-opted this word saint, right? We've started like naming individuals as saints, but not all individuals, and that's not true. We are all sinners and saints, which means we all have the ability every day to follow a nudge from the Holy Spirit and show up producing love and life in our world. When I think about saints in my own life, nobody ever knew their names. They're not special people that everybody is going to know about into history, right? We can't all be famous, but we can all be saints. We can all show up with love. I met someone my freshman year of college who I met her at a Christian gathering, organization gathering, and she had been taught growing up that Christianity meant she was right and a lot of other people were wrong. And so when I'd have conversations with her, there was a lot of judgment involved, right? Can you believe they do that? Oh, I didn't see so-and-so in worship this week. Ooh. I'm going to go study at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning because I care more about my studies than other people. There's a lot of judgment involved. And so pretty quickly, I decided that wasn't really the kind of person I wanted to hang out with, and we sort of went our separate ways. I met her 5 years later when we were both living in Minneapolis through some mutual friends, and she was a completely different person. All of a sudden, the tables were flipped. She was the one inviting me to go volunteer at events I didn't even know were happening. She was working, helping kids after school from low-income areas get tutoring and learn basketball skills and pouring her life into these kids. She was the one to include other people when they showed up, and I was maybe a little bit snarky about their being there. And we became friends, and so finally I asked her, I was like, respectfully, what happened? You're a different person. And she told me about a saint in her life, about someone who gently and persistently nudged her with the Holy Spirit. She said her sophomore year, she ended up living with someone who wasn't her best friend, but they knew each other and sort of ended up living together. And so every time she came home and she was really angry, she said, oh, they did better than me on that test, and I know I studied more than them because they go out and party all the time. Her roommate would said, maybe you don't know everything about their life. And they're a child of God, so maybe you should just accept that those are the results of the test. And if you're mad about testing, we can be mad about testing, but we don't need to blame someone else. And when they would go out to the grocery store or go out to eat, and she would sort of turn up her nose at people she thought she was better than, her roommate would say, you're probably not actually better than them. Maybe you just don't know what's going on in their life today. Maybe they were rude, or you perceive them to be rude because they're having a really bad day and they didn't want to become best friends with someone at a grocery store. And she said for 2 years she lived with this woman, and for 2 years she just continued to be this saint who would prod her to see the world as bigger and more interconnected than she ever thought it was. And it changed who she was as a person. She went from someone who proclaimed the gospel to someone who you could experience the gospel by being around. When you're with her today, you feel the grace of God just pulling you in. She doesn't even need to say the words. Because of gentle and persistent nudges from the Holy Spirit through her friend. We can all be saints. We all are saints for people in our lives. And so as we sing about fire coming into our world and purifying us, what we're singing is that God will show us what way to go, that our nudges will become more clear from the Holy Spirit, and then we'll act on them. That you might do something that you think is a little bit silly, but your gut is kind of telling you to do it, and so you'll take a chance and see if you can find more spaces of resurrection in our world. Not because you have to, not because you're ever going to not mess up, not because we're ever supposed to not be sinners, but because that's what it is to be church in this world. To find spaces of love and joy and peace and resurrection and justice, and to follow those gentle, persistent nudges from the Holy Spirit. Amen.